Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardozo.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And we'll begin with the invocation. We have Pastor Chris Bent from Calvary Chapel. If you would please rise for that. Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and first of all, we're thankful that we get to live in this great community, in this great state. We are blessed to have been insulated from a lot of the damage, such as California's experience recently with entire communities just destroyed, and how awful that is, and we just lift those people up to you and for their families, their homes. Just being without is terrible, but you have protected us here for whatever reason, and we're grateful. Lord, I looked at the agenda, their annexations, their plats, their subdividing things to be discussed. We pray for your wisdom, because, Lord, your word teaches us that you know everything, so why wouldn't we consult you? Why wouldn't we ask you to lead and guide this meeting? So we thank you that you've just shown us that you care and that you'll be here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, Pastor Bent. The first item up is the consent agenda. Questions, comments, motion to approve?
Anything? Good? Richard? I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as published. All those in favor, Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you. Next, we would like to recognize Sergeant Carl Olson. He was with CUNA. I'm not even sure how many years he's been out here, but
almost six.
6 years. I will tell you, if things ever go bad, he is one guy you would want on your side. Very impressive. Done a heck of a job for the city of CUNA. And we have a token of appreciation for you. If you want to come on up. Basically, what it means for him to work in the CUNA and take care of the SWAT team is that he gets to work 60, 80, 100 hours a week, whatever it is. So now that he's not in CUNA anymore, he can just have a couple more hours with the lead to himself. So.
Well, you know, I appreciate it, Mayor. It's, you know, it's kind of a bittersweet city leaving the CUNA. I've got to form a lot of good relationships with a lot of people out here. And, you know, it's wonderful working in this community, but I guess the long term.
All right. We have next is a continuation of public hearing on ordinance number 2018-37 and resolution number R85-2018. Bobby Withrow, Parks Director.
Mayor, Council, for the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director, 751 West 4th Street. As per our last meeting, I went through and made changes. We did put in a 10% late fee for people that wanted to reserve the park within that 7 days. So we added that in, and that was about it. So up for questions.
Okay. Any questions for Bob? I think we vetted this quite a bit last time. Just wanted to make a couple of changes. So I guess it's up to council. We have, this is actually will be the second reading. So if you want to wait for a third reading, we can do that. Or it is listed as a action item if you would like to get through it tonight.
Mayor, I've got one thing, Bobby. I don't want to sound unpatriotic, but there's a discount for current military and veterans. Mm-hmm. The parks are maintained by the public by taxation. I don't know if, again, I've been in the military myself, so I don't know if certain individuals, certain groups should be treated differently than any other taxpayer in the community to use a public facility. I don't know how the rest of the council looks at it, but I just have mixed emotions that the taxpayers pay for that, and then certain groups get a discount. And the fees are not unreasonable as far as I'm concerned. It just seems like we should treat every public taxpayer, in my eyes, the same. So God bless the military. I have nothing against them. It's just that I would like to see every constituent treated the same on a public entity. So.
Okay. So do you want all of the discounted entities we had?
I'd like to hear from the other council. But that's my personal, Bobby. It may not be right, but that's the way I feel.
Okay.
Warren, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think it's unreasonable to certainly look at those types of discounts. I think there's discounts looked at in all facets of every level of things. Certainly not putting into question your thoughts and feelings on the military by any means with that. I just don't think it's unreasonable to ask for or look at discounts like that. So I personally don't have a problem with it.
As do I. I'm fine with it the way it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Is council interested in a motion tonight, or do we want to?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do. We still have the public hearing open, so we'll do that little procedure first, and then up to council what you want to do from there. So.
Okay.
So this is a public hearing that we had open the last meeting, and it has not been closed. So I didn't have anyone that signed up on the sheet to testify in this case. Was there anybody who wanted to testify in this case that didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay, seeing none.
I move we close the public hearing.
Okay.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Now the question is before council. Yes, Chris.
Mayor, the action item is attached to the resolution for the fees. The ordinance is only set for the second reading. There's no action item attached to that, so it is scheduled for a third reading at the next meeting.
Okay. So we can save them both for the next meeting, or we can vote on one tonight.
So we can vote on
the
resolution itself?
Yes. Which is the fee schedule and that change.
Okay. And I move we approve resolution number R85-2018.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution number R85-2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And then we'll have the third reading at the next council meeting. Public hearing, this is a continuation of the public hearing and consideration to approve case number 18-05-S, preliminary plat, Madrone Heights subdivision, Troy. And this is another one where we had the public hearing is still open. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up on that one who wishes to testify? Okay, thank you. Troy.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, at the last public hearing, it was motioned and seconded, and the council gave direction to provide a paper trail for the ITD comments. That was the sticking point, because the first round of ITD comments actually had an objection to the project, notwithstanding the fact that it's more than a mile and a half away from their system. Anyway, staff has provided the paper trail that was requested, and as you can see by your packets, ITD did respond in time this time for tonight's meeting, and they actually have removed their objection to the project because the applicant has satisfied all of the things that they were objecting.
Okay.
And with that, I stand for any questions.
Question for Troy.
No.
Thank you. So again, this is a public hearing. Was there anyone who, I'll just ask one more time, was there, and it is still open, was there anybody who wanted to testify in this case that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Seeing none, it's up to council if you want to keep this public hearing open or...
Warren, you good?
You have to close it to open discussion.
No, we can open discussion and then we can do that later.
Okay.
If you think you're going to ask questions of people, then we ought to leave it open. So. Oh, I looked at the wrong sheet. I am sorry. Yes, you did. Okay, so for testimony, we have Nancy Simper. If you would approach the microphone and state your name and address.
Hello, my name is Nancy Simper. My address is 4597 West Deer Flat Road. Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council, thank you for your time. On November 7th, I talked about the impact this development would have on new and existing residents related to the traffic congestion, busing of students to school, and public safety. Today, I would like to talk to how those issues relate to the City of CUNA Comprehensive Plan. I will be referring to Sections 8 and 9 of the plan. Goal 3 in Section 9.2, page 119, is to, quote, balance land use planning with transportation needs. Goal 3. Goal 2 in Section 8.2 is to, quote, provide adequate safety and emergency services. In Section 8.3, page 108, the plan states, quote, a significant safety hazard results from the Union Pacific Railroad line physically separating North and South CUNA with few at-grade railroad separations and more than 30 trains a day passing through the community and halting traffic. Trains often block both crossings at the same time, preventing emergency vehicles from accessing the area south of the tracks for several minutes at a time and negatively impacting emergency response times, end quote. If the council ignores this and approves adding hundreds of new residents with thousands of daily vehicle trips to the area south of the tracks, it would be working against both of those stated goals and putting more households in this safety hazard zone with problematic access to police, fire, and emergency medical services. The comprehensive plan does address a solution to this problem. In Section 8.2 under Goal 2 is a policy bullet point that states, quote, continue to work with the Ada County Highway District, Idaho Transportation Department, and other governmental entities to build bridges over Indian Creek and overpasses over the Union Pacific Railroad line in order to provide uninterrupted access to areas south and west of CUNA, end quote. Our road infrastructure is not yet ready for more housing development south of the railroad track crossing on Avalon Road. The comp plan has acknowledged this problem, outlined a solution, and made policy to work toward that solution. Complying with the comprehensive plan is something that should be done in the right order. The Madrone Heights development does help meet other goals of the plan, such as providing single-family housing and future potential to connect to the city's greenbelt. But approving it before transportation and public safety goals are met would put the cart before the horse. At such time as there is an overpass railroad crossing, then more developments on this side of, on the south side of town could commence. But I strongly believe that they should not be approved until then. And do you have any questions?
Okay. Questions?
No.
Thank you very much. And then next we have Kelly Simper.
Kelly Simper, 4597 West Deer Flat. Just voicing my, for the record, my opposition to the development until further safety concerns have been addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now that I'm on the right sheet, I don't have anybody else that signed up. Was there anybody else who wished to sign up and testify in this case? All right, thank you. Council, questions, comments?
Since the public hearing is still open, Bob, I do have a couple questions for you. You had expressed a little bit of concern about the size of the development. You had recommended an R4, but then ultimately said that the 5.2 should suffice or probably could support the system. That's been, it's been 6 months, 8 months now. What is your take and feeling on the on having that density of a neighborhood over there with that the way the system currently standing?
Councilman Christensen, I still stand by my previous statement that we can work with the 5.2. Everything we've done since our original statement has been an effort to relieve some of the problem over there. Everything's still on track, so I still am comfortable with the 5.2.
Okay, so you've taken steps since the last, I think it was a January statement you had written. There's been steps to kind of relieve the usage in that area?
Yes, Councilman Christensen. The Orchard Lift Station that is currently under construction is a small piece of the resolution to the problem. We have done a test run of the old force main that runs up 10 Mile. We got to do a few repairs on that and then retry it. But there's nothing negatively that has impacted our decision. Everything we've done has only helped alleviate the problem.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions, comments?
Getting back, if I may, Mayor.
Yes.
Bob, getting back to January 4th, 2008, as Director of CUNA Planning and Zoning, I'll read number one, sanitary sewer needs, subchapter C. The 10-mile lift station is overcommitted for future sewer connections. At this time, the city opts that this project will overburden the lift station and there may be a delay in connections to the city sewer while we are working on a solution. Is that still your personal feeling as director?
Councilman Cardoza, at the time we wrote that letter or that memo, that was our feeling and still is, but we can, as previously stated, the 5.2 I don't remember what the original density of that project was, but I know we recommended R4, so they decreased the amount of houses that were going to be on it from what the original plat showed when we looked at it. So we are still comfortable with the 5.2. We're doing basically everything we can on that side to remedy any problems. When we look at commitment for sewer capacity, we're looking at everything that we know that's on the table, and that'll be future build out. So at this time, if this project were to move forward, we would not have a problem issuing a well-served letter to serve the property.
I don't know how far back, Bob, I could go, but we've had repeatedly a lot of trouble with that 10-mile lift station, haven't we, where we've brought in tankers to pump it?
Yes, I think some of that goes back to that old force main that's that runs up 10 mile that we abandoned, and then have the new force main that runs down Avalon and up. So we bypassed that one line. Most of the problems in the past with 10 mile were associated with that force main. We have some new working theories on ways to make that work. I think just a new city engineer and new set of eyes on that. So we are doing everything we can to put that back into the system. It's a roughly a $2 million asset in the ground for the city of Kuna. And we feel that it's beneficial to figure out a way to fix that and use it. The other problem are, as the 10-mile lift station eventually is going to need a substantial rebuild or replacement. It's the oldest lift station we have. With the addition of Orchard here in another few weeks, or month, that will alleviate some of the pressure that's on that. And we also have a capital improvement project scheduled to start in the spring that takes Prospector Subdivision out of 10 Mile and routes it north, taking another 250 EDUs out of 10 Mile lift station.
Okay. I think I've emphasized this before. Years ago, we were having trouble up and down 10 Mile going north to south to King with our waistlines there. They were breaking. Are those adequately available now for an increase in EDUs?
So, Councilman Cardoza, the line you're talking about is the one that is actually currently not online. It was taken out of service because of the breaks. However, with the rerouting of some of the waste from Orchard Lift Station heading straight south with that, and the additional line that is on Avalon now, we suspect that we'll be able to turn the 10-mile one back on and it'll see a substantial pressure reduction. Therefore, the working theory is by decreasing the pressure from approximately 140 PSI down to around 90, we won't have the problems we used to have in that line.
I thought Orchard was being built for everything east, down to Swan Falls, and then down to the ponds. Are we encompassing waste west going east to Orchard?
So currently, Councilman Cardoza, the Orchard lift station that's there currently pumps into 10 Mile already.
Okay.
So we will not be pumping into 10 Mile anymore. We'll be pumping straight south to the lagoons and bypassing 10 Mile, alleviating that strain from the system.
Orchard will.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Further questions? Okay.
Good evening, Kevin McCarthy. 9233 Westgate Drew, representing the applicants. This is brief rebuttal. At the last hearing, the concerns that were laid out for us were in regards to the letter we had from ITD, and as Troy pointed out, they provided a new comment, obviously citing no concern. And then really understood answering questions you may have based upon that, and then also make you aware that the last hearing my client wasn't here, and he's also here available for to answer any questions if you so chose. So, thank you.
Okay, questions for you? Thank you. Yeah, so the I think one of the biggest issues that was mentioned last time was the ITD comment, and since they've removed that one, we do have legitimate concerns on the safety and the comp plan there, but I think, as you all know, the overpass isn't going to happen for a while. We still work on that with ACHD, and Kent Goldthorpe, our commissioner, thinks that he's got plans to somehow resolve that issue. The other part of the comp plan where it mentions more bridges across Indian Creek, the problem with that, really our only solution is going to be an overpass, because Union Pacific, in order for us to put any more at-grade crossings, we have to get rid of two to add one. So that certainly does not help us in any way, shape, or form. So and Union Pacific gets to control that. So the overpass is going to be the only other option that we have for a crossing there. I think so. Then the other question would be probably what Cuna Fire has in mind there, and they've stated that their next station is more than likely going to be to the north and not to the south. So unless there is substantial growth over there, I don't want to speak for the fire department since they're not here, but that was kind of the comment that we'd gotten before when we were talking about impact fees. So and the public hearing is still open, so if you wish to ask anybody else any more questions, we can still do that.
Warren, you good?
Okay.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing on this matter. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. And the question is rightfully before council.
If I could have the floor, Mayor.
Yes.
I'll start this off. This is probably one of the most difficult decisions I've had for a while, most mainly because it's north or south of the tracks as opposed to everything else being north. There's so many variables that are coming into play on this subdivision. I have mixed emotions. According to Ada County Highway District, 85% of the vehicles that go past where this development will be are doing 56 miles an hour. Black Cat Road and Cuna Road averages 1.6 reported crashes per year, 75% of them being a turning vehicle, which I think most of us are aware of that intersection. The one statistic that I was kind of interested that brings me to my denial is there were 8 reported crashes on the Cuna Road between Black Cat and 10 Mile. 7 of the crashes involved a single vehicle leaving the roadway. My biggest concern with this development is you're going to have 2013 at full tilt. You're going to have 213 daily new trips. I'm going to assume at 205 family homes, you're going to have 1.3 or 1.2 children. So you're going to have 300 children. Just throw a figure out there. Once you cross the railroad going west on Bridge, Ada County has been lenient enough to put an asphalt sidewalk down to School Street. After that, there is not any on either side, the north side or the south side of Avalon, all the way out to 10 Mile, or you can go out to Happy Valley. I don't care how far you want to go west. There isn't a sidewalk for 300 children to be walking. We've got a charter school that's about a quarter of a mile. So you've got children maybe walking down that school from the charter school. I just don't think that is a good place for a intersection right now when we have children walking up down the street. It wasn't that long ago that we had three young ladies that had left school and was walking down Avalon pretty close to the boat. And they got to pushing each other, and one of them got pushed out in the street and hit by a car. Kids are kids. I wasn't any different. I would have been the one pushing the other person out, I'm sure. So things haven't changed. I just have the trains seem to be getting longer and longer. The wait is longer for the police, the ambulance. I still have mixed emotions about the 10-mile lift station. My biggest concern is the public and the safety of our children without a sidewalk down Avalon all the way down to where this development will be. So I just don't think it's a good place for a development right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Warren?
I can't appreciate more what Richard was saying right there, in that even during the initial discussion points we had a few months back, a lot of this same stuff was said in respect to, or at least the thought process behind, the safety aspect of this, and really looking at the public safety and the transportation side of this, there's a lot of agreement I carry with it. Now, when it comes to the development on the south side of the tracks, it's almost tough to, it's a juggling act to just kind of sit there and really look at what to approve and what we cannot approve based on the traffic findings or the safety aspect of it. But Richard brings in a whole lot of good considerations to carry forward with this. It's another truly, truly tough decision, but I think the concerns are valid that Richard has.
Well,
Councilmember McPherson.
I agree with the safety aspect of sidewalks and accessibility and such, and public testimony did bring up the points out of the comp plan, and while I know we're working on rewriting the comp plan and making it better for our entire community, I look at some of the other facts that ACHD, you know, they basically stamped it okay to do. ITD retracted their once published statement about it. I guess my concern would be the sewer capacity, but in a lengthy conversation with Bob about all that at a different time, I understand that it's, you know, it is feasible to do it. Again, traffic's a big thing, I guess, probably the biggest thing with, you know, adding a couple hundred more trips a day and the need for an overpass, but who knows when that'll happen. I guess I'm torn, but based on the approval from ACHD and multiple other entities, I guess I would lean towards approval, in my opinion.
Mr. Gigray.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, just to remind you as you go through your deliberations what you're doing now, as I understand our zoning ordinance, which is subsection F of 6-23 of the CUNA City Code, we're looking for the conformance of the subdivision with a comprehensive plan. So that was a discussion of one of the witnesses that testified. So there's an issue there if you decide there is. The availability of public services to accommodate the proposed development, which you're talking about. And then the continuity of the proposed development with capital improvement program. The public financial capability to provide supporting services to the proposed development. And then the other issue, which I think you're grappling with, is item 5, other health, safety, and environmental considerations. So if you determine that you don't want to approve this, you're going to want to land on facts that you see in the record that support one of those items. And then we're required, not only in your ordinance, but also under the Local Planning Act, that if you determine that you're not going to approve this, of course you would be stating what standards or ordinance you're relying upon or the reasons, but the actions, if any, the applicant could take to obtain a permit. So if you determine there are insufficiencies of sewer, there's insufficiencies of the traffic, the roads and streets, or there's sidewalks issues, or otherwise, if you determine that you don't want to approve this application, but you feel there are actions that the applicant could take, it would be good for you to state what those are so those could be included in the findings as it's a condition of the ordinance. But if you determine there aren't any and that it just isn't, you know, there just isn't enough public service to support it, there are the reasons why you would not approve it, then you would state that there aren't any.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. May I address the question to our legal counsel?
Yes, you may.
Idaho State Code, IC 67-6513. Through discussions and comments submitted by public service providers, the project would not create adverse impact to quality of emergency service and or delivery of subservices or impose substantial additional costs to residents, which I feel are conditions of denial. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, I think if you believe that the facts support that are in the record, yes, those are issues in which you can make a finding that you would deny the application. And I just wanted to go through these standards with you just to refresh your memory about what they are. And then if you determine you don't want to approve this application, but you think there are steps that the applicant could take where they might get approval, you know, don't forget to state that, or you may determine there aren't any at this point in time because of insurmountable issues with sewer service or the roads and streets. And traffic to the area, or if there are safety concerns that you feel as a result of the circumstances there that cannot be resolved. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, sir.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Anything further?
Can I have a minute to read a little further?
Yes,
here?
You sure might. Okay. And I hope council doesn't ever feel pressured to hurry up when we're doing these things. I think you have important decisions to make, so don't ever feel like we're pressed. Although if it takes too long, you have to order pizza.
Can I ask council another question?
Yeah.
One of the conclusions of law that we have to discuss tonight or issue is the preliminary plat application likely to cause adverse public health problems. My consideration for the public without sidewalks going down either side of Avalon, would that be considered a reason for denial?
Yes,
for you?
If in your opinion, based on the evidence presented, that that poses a significant health and safety issue, yes, sir.
You would feel comfortable with me making that motion?
My job to support your decision.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Any other discussion?
If at any time you're ready to make a motion, you may do so, and then we'll ask for further discussion on that motion before we vote.
Ball's in your court.
My court?
Mm-hmm.
For it. Great. So a motion to approve.
Do you want to make a motion or I'll make a motion of denial for case number 18-05S preliminary plat for Madrone Heights subdivision.
Second.
And then do you want to go ahead and cite in there? We've had it in discussion, but we need to actually cite the reasons for that in the motion.
I am going to cite Idaho State Code 676513. And that denial reason, and it does go to the effects of the subdivision development on the ability of compromising quality of service delivery to current residents or imposing substantial additional costs upon current residents to accommodate the proposed subdivision. So I do carry that concern in Idaho State Code 676513.
Would you like to make that part of your motion?
I'll make that a part of my motion.
He's making the motion.
Oh, you were making the motion?
Yeah.
Didn't you make a motion?
No. Well, I did. I made a motion that we deny. So I guess I have to repeat what you said. So is that correct? I will use Idaho Code 67-6513 as the premises of my denial for the case number 18-05-S, the Madrone Heights subdivision.
Okay. Bill, yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with your permission and as you're formalizing your motion, if I might, I would like to be able to approach the bench there and then let you look at the city code, because I would recommend that you base your decision on the standards of the code. The state statute, which you're referring to, and the point that you referenced about health is clear, and it's in your city code, so you're on the right, you know, it's just that statute authorizes you as a local planning jurisdiction, you and counties, to enact subdivision ordinances that have those standards. But the standards that you're going to use to make your decisions are in your ordinance, not in that state code. Because if you'll look at the beginning of it, it talks about the ability to pass subdivision ordinances that do da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But, and I'm, if with your permission, Mr. Mayor, I can hand this to you, because I've got the section right here that is, I don't think it changes the trend of thought here too much. It's just what standard you're using to make your decision. And that's all I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, I think we need assistance with the proper verbiage for the motion. So
can I approach
please do that. Yes.
Surely you don't think I could see that far, do you?
I sure don't. But I thought I'd better start with the mayor since he's running the meeting.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that exactly addresses that.
This is your city code section right there. And so these are your line items right here, these four. I don't think you had a comprehensive plan problem, but I think it's down in this area here. So public services and city.
That is 1 through 5 here. That would be city code 6.2.3.
Yeah, that's all a subsection of that section.
F.
And those are, I think, the standards on review of preliminary plan.
Okay.
All right, so let's, just to clean up here, let's withdraw the motion in the second, and then we can start over with the fresh one.
So I will have to use the city code as a motion. City code 6-2-3, F 1 through 5, specifically number 4, the public financial capacity to provide supporting services to the proposed development and other health, safety, and environmental considerations. probably number two would also apply to this to a certain aspect, the availability of public services to accommodate the proposed development. That is my motion.
Motion to, so you're going to withdraw your original one, and then your new motion for denial includes those
using
items.
City code on case number 18-05-S.
Okay.
Madrone Heights subdivision.
And is that good on the second to withdraw the original second and second new motion?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Do I need to also withdraw my motion from the original state statute?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
yes, sir.
I have three motions out there. I have Councilmember Cardoza's original to deny, and there was a second on that, and then I had a second start for a motion from Councilmember Christensen with no second on that, and then what I believe is Councilmember Cardoza making another motion to deny. So I think I need to remove a couple motions.
Yeah, we need to withdraw the original motions and the second.
Nice.
And then re-motion with the new verbiage. And Councilmember Cardoza agreed to that, and so did Councilmember Christensen. The only thing they didn't finish was, and he was about to do, is remove his motion that he made. Withdraw, I mean.
Yeah. And I need to withdraw my original motion from stating the Idaho statute and then include in my secondary motion on Richard the QA.
Well, he's made a motion, so it's just a matter of a second. That's all we need.
That's all we need. Okay. So we got that.
Okay.
Thank you. Are we clear on that now? Yes. Okay. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion for denial signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
So that motion carries 2-1. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, my recommendation, you would continue the hearing because you will have to receive findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order in regards to the decision or the motion that was just made. And so I would recommend that at this hearing you continue the hearing to a time certain for staff to provide the findings in accordance with the motion that was made and passed.
Okay. So what is the next meeting, December 4th? Yes. So we need a motion to continue this hearing for till December 4th for staff to put together the findings of fact. Motion?
Motion. We continue this meeting to December 4th.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to continue the hearing to December 4th for staff to add in the findings of facts. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. All right. Public hearing and consideration to approve 18-04-AN. It's an annexation. And 18-03-S, a preliminary plat. Jace Hellman.
Good
And I don't know, do you want the applicant to present first? And is that Billy Edwards?
You'll have Jonathan Seal, I believe, in the presentation.
Okay. Yeah, so if you would state your name and address for the record.
Yes. Yes. Good evening, Mayor, Mr. Mayor, Council Member St. Jonathan Seal. I'm here on behalf of Select Development, 2501 East State Avenue, Meridian, Idaho. If we can put up the vicinity map. Okay. The first one I wanted to talk about, you'll see on this vicinity map, you've got a 40-acre parcel, which is a larger blue one, and then you have a smaller triangular one to what would be the south side of Deer Flat. That is a path for annexation. That's a 1.75-acre parcel. Right now, the plan for that, there is no plan for that particular 1.75-acre parcel. We will come back at a later date when we have a plan for that. My discussion tonight will be for the 40-acre parcel. So if we can go to the next one, which would be the site plan. Okay. This is Lagarno subdivision. It's a 40-acre parcel. It has 114 homes that range in lot size from a little over 8,000 square feet to 11,000 square feet. That down there, down the center of it, is an irrigation ditch, which we will be relocating. Right now, there's a ditch that meanders outside of that area. We're very close to approval with Bureau of Reclamation and Boise Projects to relocate that ditch. So we will be starting that this winter at this point. I also might mention on here that Strobel Road, which I will get to with more discussion, we are in the process of working on an agreement with the landowners to the south, all the way to Hubbard, where we will extend sewer all the way to Hubbard, which is part of your master plan. We're in the process right now of working on the easements and the dedications on that. As I mentioned, there's common area which totals 11%. There will be CC&Rs that we will develop with this to ensure that this project is maintained well. We will be working with a select group of builders, approximately six of them, which we like the idea because that ensures, one, quality of construction, and also diversity of design. So we'll be doing that. You've got pathways throughout it. Strobel Road will be improved. One half of Strobel Road will be improved with curb and gutter and asphalt, along with landscaping along it. Right now, we will take Strobel Road to that one street that cuts in off of Strobel Road, and we will road trust for the balance of that until such time as that's extended down. Deer Flat will also be improved. It will be with curb and gutter, with landscaping, and also with detached sidewalks. So interior streets will all be ACHD, to ACHD standards as part of the planning process. As far as amenities, if we can go to, well, first I'll show you. If you'll look at that, you'll see the common area down there at the entrance off of Deer Flat. And if we can go to the next slide. Okay. If you'll look at this, there's a clubhouse, which is approximately 1,800 square feet on the right side. That will be not only for the sales office, but that'll be a community room. There'll be a pool just directly to the north of it, which will be enclosed in for security and safety. To the west of that will be an open area with certain amenities, basketball court, a climbing area, and other amenities that will be added to it. It totals approximately 1.7 acres in total of common area. We think this is going to be a real plus to the neighborhood in order to keep people within this area. The swimming pool, as I mentioned, will have a zero entry and also will have perimeter patio seating. I think the thing in this, and I'll try to keep this brief, but hopefully this gives you a sense that this particular developer, I think, has gone beyond what would normally be required. This common area, the clubhouse, the pool, the various amenities, is not a requirement, but it's something that he wants to build a quality project. He wants to ensure that the homes are quality construction, and there's also a diversity of design, and that there's open areas here to encourage people to stay within the subdivision. The exterior will be vinyl fence, which will encompass the entire exterior of it in there. And, of course, we'll also have professionally landscaped. So with that, I would stand for any questions that you might have.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Siegel?
I have one, Mayor, if I
yes.
could. You're asking for an R6 on that 1.725 across the street?
That is zoned, I think, right now. That we're not asking for any zoning for that. We're asking only for annexation. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As I mentioned, on the triangular portion, that's our path for annexation. We will come back at a later date when we determine what we will do with that. So for right now, that's simply just as an annexation.
Okay.
And the subdivision itself is an R4. Density is 2.8 residential units per acre.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Jace.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. As stated, the application before you tonight is for annexation request and preliminary plat approval. To start, the applicant requests to annex approximately a 40-acre site into CUNA city limits with the R4 medium-density residential zoning designation. The applicant proposes to subdivide that 40 acres into 134 total lots, consisting of 114 single-family lots and 20 common lots, which does include the 1.6-acre common lot, which is proposed to feature neighborhood amenities such as a clubhouse, pool, sports courts, playground equipment. Density per acre for the overall site is proposed to be approximately 2.8 residential units per acre, with lot sizes ranging from approximately 8,000 square feet to 13,000 square feet. As stated by the applicant, the applicant's constructing a new section of Strobel Road along the east property line. Strobel Road is listed as a north-south collector according to the City of CUNA's street circulation map. Staff would recommend that the applicant work with staff in Ada County Highway District to ensure that this new collector is constructed to each agency's standards. There are several sub-streets that have been provided, which is consistent with CUNA City Code. There are two to the west and two to the north, including a stub of the future collector of Strobel. The applicant is required to install a sign at the terminus of each of these roads, stating that they will continue in the future. Staff would defer the applicant to comments provided by ACHD, which are in your packet this evening, for preferred language for those signs. And then, Councilmember Cardoza, this kind of goes off your question. We don't allow people to just annex property without a zone, otherwise there's no regulation on it at all. With their commission and council review application, they did designate an R6 zone for this parcel, essentially because that's what the comp plan designates this piece as. So for all intents and purposes on their application, they did identify that the 1.725-acre parcel would be annexed into CUNA with an R6 zoning designation. And then, once again, the path, this is a path to annexation piece only, so no development is planned at this time. And it'd be zoned and brought before this body again appropriately if there were future development to occur. Staff's determined the annexations of preliminary plat comply with the goals and policies for CUNA City Code, Title 5 and Title 6 specifically, Idaho Statute 67-65, the Local Land Use Planning Act, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan and Board's recommendation of approval for 18-04, which is the annexation. And 18-03S for the preliminary plat, subject to any conditions of approval outlined by CUNA City Council and then any additional conditions of approval that you deem fit. And I'll stand for any questions you guys have.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
I don't.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing, so we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. only had one person sign up to not testify on a neutral on the neutral column. Is there anybody who wishes to testify and didn't get a chance to sign up? Okay, I need you to. Was there anybody else that wanted to testify in this case? Okay. Okay, while you're there, state your name and address.
Thank you. David Andrus, 1928 East Deer Flat Road. I own the property directly west of this project. The nice subdivision, but there's going to be 114 homes going in here. There's also another 140 homes going in across the street on Deer Flat. So you're going to have somewhere probably around 200 cars now that are going to be coming down Deer Flat Road, turning north. The crosswalk on Meridian Road is on the north side. Even though there are sidewalks in front of this subdivision, there are no sidewalks that extend from there down to Meridian Road. So there may be in front of the subdivision, but not continuing down to Meridian Road. Trying to get crosswalk Meridian Road is a very difficult process the way it is right now. But now you're going to add considerable traffic that's going to be turning north off of Deer Flat onto Meridian on a continuous basis now. The main thing for me is nobody wants a subdivision next to them, no matter how nice it is. We've lived out here for 25 years. We're going to have homes that are going to be sitting right next to us. And so our concern is what's going to happen with the lighting. They are putting in a 6-foot fence, but the property is already 4 feet lower than mine. So the fence is not, 6-foot fence isn't going to do much to give me any kind of barrier between this and the other property. So thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Did anybody have any questions for Mr. Andrus? Okay, thank you. So that was all I had. Does the applicant want to address any of those concerns?
Yes, Jonathan Seal, Select Management. With respect to the crosswalk on Meridian Road, we don't have any control over that. As you well know, that's ITD, and that's a whole different animal. There. As far as traffic goes, yes, you are going to create traffic. Any development creates traffic. It's unavoidable. But the density on this is not huge. It certainly is within the comprehensive plan. It could very well have been office. Office potentially would have generated far more traffic, and I think be far more intrusive. As far as the lighting goes, I think like any development out there, and I can appreciate the gentleman's concerns, you're going to have your street lights, but they're going to be downcast. And so they'll be assured that it should not impose, I think, any unusual lighting on his property in there. As far as the difference in elevation between the two properties, I'm not sure what you can do with that. That's just topography, sadly. And again, I understand that. So again, I think this is a good project. I think it's going to be a quality project. I think, again, that the developer has gone beyond what would be normally required in here with almost 1.7 acres of common area plus the landscaped areas and what have you. So I think it's one that you can feel positive about. And I think one, when you drive through later, you won't regret approving it if you do. With that, I'll stand if you have any other questions.
Okay.
Mayor,
questions? Yes.
Have the floor. Did you say 2.8 is what?
Yes, dwelling units per acre.
Okay, thank you.
Any others?
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And the public hearing is still open, so if you wish to ask anybody questions, you may do so. Yes.
Did we have about 2 minutes? My computer crashed.
Mine is locked up, too. I'm on a page, and I can't move now.
I'm on page 116, and I need to be about 400. So.
Mine's working again if you want to. Or did you get yours?
I think his is locked up too.
All right, so well, here, you can use that one.
Page 15 of 216.
So that one's open in documents, so it goes sideways, and if you need to move quite a ways, you can slip your finger across the very bottom.
Here.
That little heel, there you go. That.
Going off memory, does anybody have any discussion on 18-04 AN?
Nope, I'm good.
I might make a motion then. Warren, you have any discussion on it?
We do need to close the public hearing.
Oh, okay.
So we do need a motion for that.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing on 18-04 AN and 18-03-S. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Now you can have
that. Okay. I make a motion that we approve 18-04 AN and 18-03S.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. And was there, I think there was conditions of approval in there if you want to add those in. Is there any further discussion? So these are the conditions of approval. If you agree with them, you can just add that into your motion by saying the conditions of approval as listed.
Recommended conditions of approval. Do I have to go all the way through 1 through 16?
You can, all you have
make
to say
the motion
is
1 through 16, I guess. Conditions of approval as listed.
Okay, so we're adding the conditions of approval to the motion. Does the second still stand?
Second stands.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded to approve 18-04-AN and 1803-S with the conditions of approval as listed. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item D is a public hearing in consideration to approve 18-01-S preliminary plat for Whisper Meadows subdivision. Troy. What's the applicant? There's no name on here, so I need to know who that is if you want me to call them.
Troy is currently choking to death.
Katie Miller.
Katie Miller.
Engineering.
I'm so sorry, Katie.
It's okay. We'd like to ask to be tabled for 2 weeks to December 8th, if that's possible.
Okay.
Possible. I move we table 1801S preliminary plat for Whisper Meadows for the December 4th meeting.
Fourth, perfect. That works. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table 18-01-S for the December 4th meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. consideration to reappoint John Laraway to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a period of 3 years, which will expire in November 2021. Wendy Howell, I guess if...
Mr. John Laraway's been an awesome addition to our Planning and Zoning Commission. He finished out Mr. Herford's term, and now he's requesting that he be appointed to a full term.
I say we make it like a 10-year term.
Just life, yeah. Life.
Life. Life. Yes. We just need to make a motion for that, Mayor.
Yes.
Okay, I move we reappoint John Laraway to the Planning and Zoning Commission for a period of 3 years, which will expire November 2021.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Mayor.
Yes.
Wendy, isn't John already on Planning and Zoning?
His
term expired?
Expires this month, yes.
6 months ago?
This month.
Oh, okay. 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 Thank
okay.
you.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 8A, consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-40. This is an ordinance of the City of Kuna, Idaho, annexing several properties on South Ash Avenue owned by Clay Wood and Vera Strychik into the Kuna Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise-Kuna Irrigation District, thus changing the boundary of Kuna Municipal Irrigation District, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law and providing an effective date. So this is one like we always do with irrigation needs, so probably no reason to slow track it.
Mayor?
Yes.
Is this property already in the city? Or are we just annexing it for the water rights? Pardon me?
Yes, Chris.
It's already in the city. It's just the water annexation.
It is? Okay. Thank you.
Warren, you good?
Good.
Mayor, I move we approve ordinance 2018-40.
Second.
You want to approve it? Let's waive the three readings.
We'll do that first.
Okay.
I move we waive the three readings of ordinance 2018-40.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2018-40. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Now I approve. Move we approve ordinance 2018-40.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2018-40. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that is all that we have on the agenda for tonight. Is there anything that anybody wanted to announce? You're not having any more children yet?
Nope. One is good.
Okay. Well, with that then, meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.